Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 94, Good Till the Last Bite. Sunday, October 25th, 2015. I'm your host, Sarah. I'm podcasting this morning from drizzly, foggy Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, in the tranquil rehearsal space of Bovine Social Club. I got here nice and early with a very tall cup of coffee, and I'm ready to do some long overdue recording. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. This episode will be an unscripted narrative of my recent visit to the New York Sheep and Wool Festival in Rhinebeck, New York. This morning, I am also recording a regular episode that will be released sometime later this week, the last week in October. Some folks may be very interested in my Rhinebeck experience, and others may prefer the regular episodes. So this morning, with my extra large coffee, I am trying to satisfy the listening preferences of all types of Yarns at Yin Hu podcast fans. First, a bit of a history of the New York Sheep and Wool Festival. This was the festival's 35th year, so there was some additional excitement about the event. And my cousin, Lisa Marion of Spinner's Hill, has been a vendor at the New York Sheep and Wool Festival since it first began in 1980. And she told me over the course of our conversations that weekend that at first it was one barn, the very barn where her booth is and remains. She's had the same spot since the first years. It was one day, and the focus in the beginning was really about more of the animal husbandry and raising livestock aspect of sheep and wool, and less with vendors who had yarn and wool and things on sale. And over the years, there has been, sort of negotiation and development of what the festival is about, and of course, how many vendors there are, and how many days. I forget the year, but she said she remembers when folks who were organizing the festival came around to the, maybe 30 or 40 or so vendors who were there in the early years and said, so, what do you think? Would you still come if it were 2 days? And then, fast forward to 2015, it's estimated that 35 to 40,000 folks visited the festival, which seems maybe a little bit lower than estimates from last year. This comes from a local paper called, The Record, I think, somewhere in Rhinebeck or thereabouts. There were 253 vendors, including 40 food vendors, and crowds flocked there from locations from around the globe. The added excitement this year was a bit of snow on Sunday, and maybe some of the colder temperatures did keep folks away. Still my favorite day for festival going is the Sunday. But this weekend, this year, I was just ecstatic to spend the weekend there and to be able to spend so much time with friends and acquaintances beyond what I would normally be able to get acquainted with them. So on Friday, I headed up to Rosendale, New York, which is on the west side of the Hudson River. And Mary Beth and her husband, Tony, had arranged for a little flat there right in the center of town. It's a really cute and funky town with a lot of attention to local and sustainable and the arts. And I was able to just take a little walk around town and let the stress of the week roll off before Mary Beth and Tony arrived. We spent a lot of time chatting. We took a little walk across two bridges. You can cross two bridges and make a little bit of a loop around town. And then we went out for a really lovely dinner at the 1850 house right there in town. Unbelievably ambient decor, nice and toasty warm, delicious food, and also some knitter sightings. So as folks would come in the door, you could sort of, you know, sneak a glance up at them and see if they were wearing any shawls, scarves, hand-knitted hats. And you'd think to yourself, is that a knitter? Are they going to Rhinebeck tomorrow? So we had a good time doing that. There had been some conversation about attending the Indie Yarn event over in Kingston. But Mary Beth and I decided that we would be better off spending the evening in. And we used it to have our own impromptu knitting class, knitting brioche. I have had a goal all year, one of my 2015 goals, to learn to knit brioche. And by mid-October, I had done absolutely zero about that goal. Thought about purchasing a crafty class a few times, didn't do that. Thought about the Pearl Soho pattern, which looks like it has nice photo tutorials, didn't do that. But I did bring some size 5 needles, and Mary Beth brought the yarn and the pattern. And we learned to knit the brioche hat from Pearl Soho's website. We didn't get too far into the brioche, but I did feel like I had the hang of the basic stitch by the end of that evening. And on the next day, Saturday, we had a rather early start. Mary Beth and Tony don't like to eat breakfast either. So we just left the house and went straight to coffee, which is, I know it's unwise. Everyone in my life tells me, you really need breakfast to start the day. I really just like to have coffee to start the day. That makes me very happy. So without the added ado about making breakfast or dining out, we were at the fairgrounds rather early. Sat in the nice, sunny, warm car and chatted for a while, and then we stood in line and chatted for another while. It was just a beautiful, crisp fall morning on Saturday. Blue skies, a little breezy. Everyone was just filled with excitement and expectation. It was fantastic, and I found all of the lines and sort of infrastructure of the New York Sheep and Wool Festival to be very well thought out. It seems like they are well prepared for the crowds that they get, and things are pretty organized starting right from the very beginning. My first visit was to my cousin Lisa in Spinner's Hill, up in one of the barns, I think barn 36. And we had a nice chat. And then I headed down to the book tent for two reasons. I do a lot of Christmas shopping at Rhinebeck. I like to purchase signed copies of books for members of my family because there's quite a wide array of things available. And also because Clara Parks was giving away galley copies, signed galley copies of her new book, Knitlandia, and I thought it would be fun to meet her and pick up one of those. So I did. While I was standing in line for Knitlandia, I purchased a few signed copies, and also I purchased the most recent edition of Pom Pom Quarterly. I looked carefully at all of the issues they had for sale and decided Decided on the most recent one because of one particular pattern called the suffragette, which is this darling cloche. Oh, it's just the most darling pattern. So I planned to knit that, and that had to be the purchase I made. There's also a very nice pattern by Cerulea Rose in that edition as well. As I left the book sales area, I met up with Sophia and Lisa of the Ichigo Knitter podcast, as well as Aunt Tracy and her daughter, and Shanae, who has recorded episodes sometimes with Sophia. We had a great chat, and everyone was just so excited about the festival. We were talking about purchases, and that was definitely a group I wish I had been able to spend more time and have a deeper conversation. I guess there's always next year at Rhinebeck. Following that, I didn't spend too much time in buildings A, B, and C, really the whole weekend. Every time I was near there, it was incredibly crowded, and I just felt a little overwhelmed and on sensory overload, so I preferred to do shopping in the barns and the outdoor areas where there was a lot more fresh air and a little bit less in the way of crowds. So my next stop was to make a very important purchase at Battenkill Fiber Mills. Mary Jean Packer is the proprietor, and Karen, who helps to run the mill and also has her own farm in Washington County, New York, Onsenbrook Farm, which I had visited in April. They were there. They were lovely. And I was able to find something I really had no hope and no right to expect to find in their booth, which was an additional skein of some yarn that I had purchased on consignment or deep discount when I visited there in April. I didn't buy enough yarn to knit the Miranda sweater for my sister. Not even having completed the yoke, I had used up one of the three skeins I had purchased. So I took my swatch, and miracle of miracles, I was able to find an additional skein with the help of Karen. I was so relieved, and now I feel a little more motivated to continue work on this sweater, even though I haven't knit on the sweater since I returned. But I will, and having enough yarn is certainly a benefit. At 1 p.m., I headed to the podcaster meetup, and I was able to meet with some listeners and also to say hello to some podcasters whose work I enjoy. So it was super fun to see Pop Silly Gretchen, who was my swap partner for a natural yarn, a soulful stash yarn swap. And also Salmon Knits was there, had made rather an impromptu journey to Rhinebeck, and we got to talk for a while, so that was fantastic. And then we met Claire of the New Hampshire Knits podcast, who is lovely, and it was just so great to chat with her. And I saw the Bookish Stitcher, as well as Paula of Knitting Pipeline, and Missy, and a whole, I think they were traveling a whole very large group together. So it was very nice to talk to Paula, and then I ran into her again toward the end of the day on Sunday, and we had a bit more of a chat. So it's just so nice to see her. After the podcaster meetup, I volunteered for a few hours at the Fibercraft studio booth downstairs in the horticultural building and assisted with sales and a little bit with making recommendations or suggestions or helping folks find yarn. I'm probably better at the sales portion because there was Chris there and Judith, who had a much better handle on the yarn, the colors, the dyes used, and all of the properties of the yarn, and some good suggestions for which yarn to use with which patterns as well. So I was able to package up the beautiful purchases that customers were making, help with credit card transactions and adding up sales tax, and also telling folks about some of the programming options that are available at Fibercraft Studio. I was really overcome with the enthusiasm of shoppers for the products that were on sale at the booth, and just their interest in natural dyeing, and also the beautiful flowing and drapey designs that are available for purchase with the purchase of yarn from Fibercraft Studio. You know, having visited the booth myself in previous years, you're only there for, you know, the time it takes to have a conversation or make your purchase. But standing there for several hours and watching folks come by, watching them walk by and come back, watching them just spend an incredible amount of time making a selection and talking to folks at the booth about their purchase and their upcoming knitting project. It was incredibly gratifying and very informative. At the end of my shift, which was about 4 p.m., I believe, I found that Mary Beth and Tony were sort of making their way out of the festival, and I planned to meet them at their car. But on my way out, I made the purchase of a really lovely pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company that will be a Christmas gift for Samuel. And these apparently were selling out at the time when I reached the booth. I had no idea. I felt like I was the only one shopping there. It looked like they had great display, a lot of selections available. But then folks were saying the next morning that they were completely sold out of all their socks and a lot of other things too. So we headed back to Rosendale just to put our feet up a bit in anticipation of an exciting evening. We made our way over to the Jill Draper studio event, which was incredibly well attended and incredibly crowded, which was great. I mean, it was great to see so much excitement about such a carefully made product. And it was good to get a glimpse of some of the beautiful yarns and to understand a little bit about, you know, the different weights and fiber content and things like that. It was not easy most of the evening to get very close to the yarn, but I spent a great deal of it, Mary Beth and I, talking to Laura Nelkin. And when I was focused on talking with someone, the chaos of the room didn't seem quite so overpowering. And Laura helped us to make a selection of some Riften yarn. This is in incredible 600-yard skeins and just beautifully, beautifully dyed. Mary Beth selected something with grays and blues, more of a cool color palette, and I selected something with really warm browns, taupe, and a bit of purple. Laura has a pattern specifically designed to use this yarn, so that's what I plan to do. It was nice to be able to just be focused and make a purchase, and then we left to make room for other guests that evening. We made our way over to the center of Kingston to a restaurant called Mole Mole, absolutely delicious Mexican food. I think the staff were a bit overcome by the size of our party. We were 12. We met up with Emily, Chain of Fools of the Fibertown podcast, and three gals with whom she was spending the weekend. Janice, Sarah, and Sam were there. And then held up by traffic and arriving a little bit later were Amy and Scott of Ross Fibers, as well as Heather and Wayne and Joelle, who had been helping them in their booth. So it was a big crowd. We all had some great appetites, and there was really incredible conversation at the table. I tried to talk to everyone who was within shouting distance, and at our end of the table, we had some really nice talk about Big Green Egg grilling. Of course, Wayne and Scott are aficionados, I guess you could say, of grilling and barbecue. And Tony and Mary Beth also have a Big Green Egg. So we're a bunch of eggheads down at the end of the table. And it was just great to talk about that because most folks don't even know what that sort of grill is or the differences between that grill and other types. We had an early to bed evening when we returned to Rosendale. Sunday was really just relaxed. I did a bit of shopping. I attended Leaping Llamas, which was awesome. And I had missed it last year somehow. I don't know how. But we started the day with a trip up the hill for cider donuts. I was about to decline because I'm not a breakfast person. I'm all good with the coffee. But Tony talked me into an apple cider donut. And boy, was it good. There weren't too many people on the fairgrounds at that hour. So Mary Beth and I had a little bit of a photo shoot. Just as we were finishing up our photos, some pretty serious looking clouds settled over the festival grounds. And someone was saying, there wasn't rain in the forecast. And I looked at the clouds and thought, those aren't rain clouds. That it looks like it's going to snow. And about 15 minutes later, as we were heading toward Jenny the Potter's booth, the snowflakes began to fall. And throughout the day, there were periods of snow and snow squalls on my way home on Route 84 later that day. So it kind of lent an urgency, I think, to the shopping. The whole, winter's coming, knit faster kind of urgency. And it seemed like people were going to their cars and returning to the festival with more and more hand knits. It was a great weekend to see all of the hand knit items and the creative ways that folks wear their hand knits. And as it got colder and colder, you were able to see even more and more of that. While I was purchasing some earrings at the Jenny the Potter booth, Tony and Mary Beth went to snag seats at Leaping Llamas, which was very clever of them, because by the time I made my purchase and headed back to the arena, the benches were full, and there was barely enough room for me to squeeze in next to them and see the Leaping Llamas contest. Just before it started, I was able to say hello to Amy Beth of the Fat Squirrel Speaks podcast and Malia of the Yarn Raising podcast, who was my teacher for spindle spinning at SSK. So it was great to see both of them and to have a moment. I had seen them at the podcaster meetup, but there were some folks, very popular. It was hard to get near them. So I saw a lot of folks from afar. Then it was nice to see them afterwards. Additionally, that morning, I've sort of lost track of it in the chronology of Sunday, but at some point that morning, Mary Beth and I also ran into Amy and Darren of the Knitting in Circles podcast. I had missed seeing them last year, so it was really nice to have a chat with them. They are fans of Samuel's music and are always sweet to say that they enjoy it and have it playing in their RV, which I think is great. And, they both looked fabulous in their hand knits and like they were having a great time. Although I think Amy enjoys the colder air quite a bit more than Darren, who's the true southerner. Leaping Llamas was just an extraordinary event. All the fun I thought it would be, and also very informative. The MC of the event takes a lot of care to educate the audience about the animals and also about the training that the young people go through in order to handle their animals. So that was really informative. Unfortunately, I had to dash out a little bit early before the very close of that contest because I was volunteering again at the Fibercraft studio booth. So I headed down there and saw a lot of folks come through the booth as I was working there. Some friends from my class, the Sheep to Shawl class, and also Deb, Little Red Hen, came by with her husband. Emily of Fibertown came by with Janice, and Emily was wearing her beautiful sweater that she, it was a rush to the finish. Actually, Mary Beth, Tony, and I were wondering if she would complete it. And I had hoped to see her wearing it on Saturday night, but then it was great to see her wearing, oh, this phenomenal sweater on Sunday afternoon. It was cold by the time I was done working at the booth, and I went, did a little more shopping. Mary Beth and Tony said their goodbyes and headed back to get some rest. They had a long journey to Pittsburgh the next day. And I spent some time just wandering around. I visited with my cousin Lisa again and did a bit more Christmas shopping. I wanted to buy some cheese before I left. I didn't really want to carry it around with me. And even though it was a cold day, the sun was warm and it was really warm in the car. So I didn't want to put cheese in the car. But the cheese was sold out at the cheesemonger station. So I wandered around the food and wine area and I found some cheese from a biodynamic farm in upstate New York. That was a great purchase. And then I also found some adorable little candles shaped like ball jars. Oh, they're so cute. So they will make excellent stocking stuffers. And it was just a nice, quiet, peaceful end of the festival. I made my way to the car and drove home down through Rhinebeck and Hyde Park. I had the option of choosing probably a faster highway route, but I just wanted to take more of a scenic route and just look at the beautiful, beautiful colors of the area and have a nice reflective drive home. By the time I hit 84, though, the snow was really blowing on parts of the journey home. And it was nice to finally get back to my own yin-hoo and my own bed and have a nice warm supper and a cozy evening. Certainly, I feel very fortunate to live so near an event like the one in Rhinebeck and to have the flexibility in my schedule to spend such a beautiful weekend there. I hope you have enjoyed hearing about it if you're not able to attend. And I'm also in the mind, I guess, attending one event sort of puts you in the mind of planning something for the future. So I do have a plan of trying to get a small group together to go on the farm and fiber tour in Washington County, New York, this upcoming spring. This will be the last full weekend in April 2016. And the Farm and Fiber Tour is a free event. There are 20-some farms and other venues open to the public and with special events. But I thought it might be nice if some friends of the podcast were together for the weekend, maybe sharing a meal together, knitting together, talking, laughing. So if this is something that interests you and you would like more information when I investigate a little bit, then please send me a personal message and let me know that you would like to stay informed, and I will be sure to do that.
Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves are down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Cousins, burn out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page, joining the Yarns at Yinhoo group on Ravelry, or leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.